Welcome back to the Jennifer Hammond Show on SiriusXM Urban View.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Jennifer Hammond. And I love, we always try to play a little Motown. We need to find ways that we can help in our neighborhoods. One way or another, we always want to see what we can do to contribute to make our neighborhoods better and more aesthetically beautiful. So we've been talking about architecture. And this month, with Black History Month, we want to honor some amazing architects that have contributed to amazing, beautiful of our, you know, aesthetically pleasing neighborhoods. And as I mentioned that, I always forget. I do want to mention we have, you know, I volunteer for an organization called helpingahero.org. And so if you go to helpingahero.org, we actually are building homes for severely wounded veterans. And we just had an amazing contribution of 7 lots in the state of Texas. So if you are interested in any way helping with that, we're always looking for people who want to volunteer their time. If you want to also volunteer your money, you can also donate directly on the website at helpingahero.org. But also, if you know veterans that you think should be up for this, you can also, you can submit people's names that you think should be getting one of these amazing homes. We have lots of different veterans that we're very interested in helping. So again, helpingahero.org if you're interested in helping. You, there are all sorts of different ways. Volunteering your time. We're always needing help for everything from how to build the website better, how to do our social media better. We have amazing musicians that have come out and help us. So anything that you would like to help, that's what we're doing with helpingahero.org. Also, so as we're going through and talking about these amazing architects that have contributed so much to our world and to our neighborhoods, making our neighborhoods more beautiful, I want to introduce you to Michael Marshall. He is the director and principal designer of Michael Marshall Design. Michael's career spans nearly 3 decades, and he has a wide range of projects and the different types of projects: commercial, corporate, cultural, and urban. In 2018, Michael's work was accepted into the Architectural Design Archives for the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture. So welcome to the show, Michael.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very honored to be part of your show and contributing during Black History Month.
Well, thank you. And thank you for contributing so much beauty to our neighborhoods. I know you've worked on, you know, big projects to smaller projects. And I would love if we start from the beginning. I think this is always so interesting of, you know, so the young Michael Marshall, when he was 6 or 7, was he thinking about becoming an architect?
Well, you know, it's a funny story for my path in architecture. Around 5 and 6 years old, I used to like to draw a lot, you know, cartoons, things that kids like to do. But I could see that I had a pretty good knack for it also. And so one summer when I was 11 years old, playing with my neighbor, he had to stop and take a set of drawings to his dad, who was a carpenter. And I said, "What are those?" He said, "These are the drawings that my dad has to use to build the house he's working on." And I said, "Oh, drawing." And I said, "Who does that?" He says, "The architect does it." And I said, "Oh, what's an architect?" He said, "He's the person who, or she, is the person who does the design so that the contractors can build the project." I said, "Well, I like to draw, so maybe that's what I'll do. I'll be an architect." And so from that point on, I focused on drawing and drafting and art, and started college at the University of the District of Columbia here in D.C. And from there, at that time, in the middle 70s, it was really architectural engineering technology, a 2-year program. So I transferred from there to Catholic University, where I got a Bachelor of Science degree. And from there, I went to Yale University for the Master's of Architecture degree program.
Beautiful.
So that's how my path went to become an architect.
Wow. And it's so beautiful because I think it's so important to realize that you, if you can dream it, you can achieve it. So, you know, don't allow anything. I'm sure you had lots of challenges, and maybe that's one of the great things. So will you tell us about one of your challenges that you had to overcome to,
sure,
to become successful?
Sure. It was an interesting path. Because I started at University of District of Columbia, it was the first time I actually met professional people. My folks are from a working class background. My dad is a retired school bus driver, and my mom was a janitor and housekeeper for people. So I did not know any professionals until I got to college, and they were very supportive there. It was a school that is a historically black college, as I said, here in D.C. So all of the professionals that were teaching us were all licensed architects or engineers. And so they went beyond just, you know, giving us the academic requirements necessary, but they were also very supportive. And I tried to do that myself now by mentoring younger, everything from elementary school kids through college, to understand what architects do, what the profession is like, and the rewards of being an architect and contributing to, you know, your society and your environment. So it's quite a career to be part of.
I agree. I mean, you're building our world. It's so significant. And speaking of which, what would you say is your favorite building in Washington, D.C.?
My favorite building of my project, or just in general?
Well, both.
Okay, both. All right. First, let's start off with the projects I've been involved with. We actually designed the new student center for the University of the District of Columbia, teamed with Canon Design, another architectural firm here in the area. And what that project did, not only was it full circle because, you know, I went to school there, but because it was something that was really needed for the university. They didn't have a student center. And so it gave us an opportunity where its place could make a new face for the university and really sort of show how they're stepping into the 21st century with their academic setting.
Yeah, I think it's always special when you get to go back to your whatever school you went to, whether it's a high school or university, and do something and really contribute. But, I mean, in such a significant way. I mean, you built, you know, I mean, you're helping design and build this amazing part that everyone is going to see for years and years to come. So well done, Michael.
Well, thank you very much. And lately we've been working on some other larger scale projects that have been catalysts for redevelopment in certain areas. So for instance, in September, we opened the Washington Wizards training facility and the Mystics arena The Mystics can have their own stadium, seats 4,000 people. And so this is in an area of D.C., Congress Heights, that really needed some catalyst to sort of move it along economically, just like other parts of the city are experiencing now, this sort of renaissance of things that are going on. So it's a real catalyst for everything that's going to happen around it. It was basically a public-private partnership. And all around it, it's on the old campus of the St. Elizabeth Hospital. And so a new hospital was built. So all of the historic properties are being repurposed, both for housing, the arena and training facility, as I said. So it was really great that the Wizards were open to, you know, bringing the team and bringing the Mystics to that part of the city. So now development will happen all around it.
Well, and Michael, for people, I know exactly what you're talking about. And of course, I'm in the D.C. area. So I know so much about St. Elizabeth's, and the National Building Museum actually did an amazing exhibit about the old St. Elizabeth's psychiatric ward. But will you tell people a little bit? So if someone's sitting here and they're from Los Angeles and they don't understand D.C., and then what you're talking about is across the river. So will you talk bit about the layout and what St. Elizabeth's was?
Yeah. So basically, Washington, D.C. has two rivers that sort of run through it and by it. The Potomac is the one that people are most familiar with, and then there's the Anacostia River. And so a lot of the development in the city that has occurred in the past 20 years pretty much is west of the Anacostia, if it's sort of running north-south in a sense. And so everything that's east of Anacostia has been slow for development, and to be straightforward about it, it's the area that has the largest population of African Americans. And yep. So development has been slow to come to that area. So we have a very, very smart mayor, Muriel Bowser, who said, look, we're going to spread out some of these city venues to that area to sort of, you know, spur on the development over that side of Anacostia. Yeah. So this hospital site was used for mentally ill patients at one point. And so the new hospital was built. And then so now all of the historic structures are being repurposed. So it's great for that area of the city.
And I think it's so special because, as you just said, there's some areas that are just really completely forgotten in the Washington, D.C. area. And that's one of the reasons I wanted you to explain it. It's so fascinating to me when I realize that, you know, when I first got to Washington, D.C. 20 years ago, I came from Florida, and there were different aspects or different areas of D.C. where you could buy a condo for about $30,000, you know, and I remember coming from Florida, I thought that was ridiculously expensive. That same condo in DuPont Circle, of course, that was $30,000 when I got here 20 years ago is now $300,000, you know, so...
Yes, exactly.
But if you go go ahead.
Yeah, just going across the river is a new area where it's being, you know, as I said, the renaissance of our city is now spreading in that direction. I can make the analogy with Manhattan, for instance.
Yes.
So you look at Harlem, and now Harlem is just really sort of a hot place to be. The same thing with Brooklyn, New York. Areas that before, either because of something in the geography that separated it from a certain area. So in our case, it was the Anacostia River. And now areas that have been left vacant since the riots here when Martin Luther King was assassinated back in 68 have been vacant for all these years, and now we're getting development. We're having so many people move into Washington, D.C., and I think in general for most cities, because when you think about the fact that in the next 50 years, 75% of the Earth's population will be located in an urban setting.
Right.
And so, and there's a reason for that because of the culture, education, the sustainability
resources,
of,
yeah.
Yes, the resources, the transportation. So now Anacostia is now, the areas east of the river, as we say here, will be developed. Now, the trick is to get affordable housing and to find a balance between the people that have survived and stayed there for all those years and the new people that are moving into the city. And that's why there's a big push here, as in most cities across the country, for affordable housing and increasing the density. And the catch is to increase the density in a way that is aesthetically pleasing and that makes sense culturally. And so that's why it's really important to have architects from all different backgrounds. And by that, I mean people of color, women involved. And so that the different nuances from all of us, since we all will have to, you know, live together in an urban situation, should be brought forth through the design of the environment. And so it only makes sense to have everybody pitching in. So that's what's really important for me as an architect and exposing younger people, black and brown kids, to be interested in being an architect.
Yes, yes. And one thing I just, wherever you're sitting right now, if you're listening to my voice, know that whatever you dream, you can achieve. If you want to be an architect, you can do it. Whether you're a girl or boy, doesn't matter. It just matters if you're interested in it. And one of the things I would suggest is that you should always find a mentor. Michael, what would you say? What are some of the key things that someone who's thinking about becoming an architect need to
do? Absolutely. Pretty much every city or region has an American Institute of Architects chapter. And if you go on those websites, you'll be able to see different foundations where architects are involved with. For instance, here we have, I think it's called Architects in the Schools. So the local chapter and foundation will have architects such as myself go to the various public schools and talk about architecture, talk about urban design, and even sometimes do projects. We will take students out on photo shoots, for instance. Everybody has a camera in their phone these days. Right. And to go out and really explore your environment and understand it.
Yeah, I think it's so important to really look at it Just like when I talk to an artist, it's so interesting. If I talk to an artist, they'll tell you about colors. And have you ever really noticed that the sky's not really blue all the time? It's always all sorts of different shades. Or if you look at a building, have you ever looked at the angles of a building? And it's funny, when you look at it through the eyes of someone else, it just changes your whole viewpoint. And I think that's critical for finding mentors who will help you look at, you know, life in a different way, and then find out if that's the right field for you.
Sure, absolutely. And there are all sorts of, again, it needs such a collaboration to make buildings and to make urban design. So it's not just one person sort of sitting at a desk and make some sketches and, you know, and then that's it. There are engineers, there are even sometimes scientists that are involved with our projects, and the contractors, the clients. It's just one big collaboration, and it takes a lot of work. And so I really recommend looking at the profession, but seeing what other involvement could be. There's civil engineers, there's structural engineers, mechanical engineers, and even people who are specialists in sustainability, you know, how the building is going to be heated and cooled, and how we're trying not to use too much power, electricity, how to shade the building so it's not too hot, how to keep the building warm. And so it's a great team effort, and that's what I really enjoy about it. It takes a lot of people. So that's why having people from different backgrounds being involved with these projects is very important.
And what do you see for the future? Because you're working with teams, and now we've been talking about robots who build, you know, different aspects of buildings.
Yeah. it is really interesting because robots. AI building, you know, although a building might be constructed by robotics, but still the robots have to be built and engineered by humans. So it's not really cutting out jobs per se. It's just that it's a different tool now. You know, we go from using hammer and nails to using coding and programming and technology. So it's just human progress, science and engineering and you know, STEM education, it's all very important. So be baffled, you know, when you see a robot making a component of a building, or we're doing prefab elements that come out to the site and then it's erected. It still takes human ingenuity to make those machines and those parts.
And I think it's so interesting because, you know, we talk about, it seems like almost sci-fi. We have robots that can do all these things, and they are just different aspects of how life is going to be. But there's so many different opportunities to be involved in architecture in the future. So it's pretty exciting.
Absolutely. I think also, you know, you can be an architect and work for NASA and try to understand how we're going to build on Mars.
For instance. Right.
It's a whole different ballgame, but a lot of robotics. And it can start with just someone, a kid right now, who's interested just in drawing or playing computer games and understanding what we can do with technology. So I think the future is just going to be an incredible time. But we just have to be very diligent and work hard at it and understand the different cultures that are going to come together that are going to make our society work.
Right. Amazing. Such a future. So, and also, what about your future? What kind of upcoming projects do you have on the horizon that you can talk about?
We have proposals in for projects we're waiting to hear on that involve a lot of affordable housing here in the city. Again, I think that's probably important for most cities across the country. There are mixed-use developments. So, for instance, there might be retail at the ground floor, because you want to keep the street life and the city active. And then sometimes there are hotels, and then there are apartments and condos that are part of it. And usually here in the city, if it's a public-private partnership, there's encouragement to add affordable housing as part of the development. And so we have several proposals right now that we're looking at to have that sort of combination of uses in one block. So I'm very happy that we're working on projects that really are, that go beyond architecture, but goes into the urban design and how our cities will work and function. You know, we work with Department of Transportation and the engineers because, again, transportation, how the city will work beyond the architecture is also very important. And also how what we do, again, can be a catalyst for the development and just the betterment of our city. So those are the type of things we're looking at. We're also still looking at projects, sports facilities.
Michael, I hate to tell you, but we are already out of time, so we have to run. But I want to make sure people know they can get a hold of you through michaelmarshalldesign.com, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. They can take a look at our work on the site there and contact us through that website.
Perfect. And we'll put your Facebook and Instagram up on our social media as well. Michael, thank you for all that you're doing to contribute to our neighborhoods and make everything better. Thank you.
Well, then again, thank you. And I'm honored to be part of your show. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Michael. And we'll be back after the break with more of Jennifer Hammond Show.
This is the Jennifer Hammond Show on Sirius XM Urban View.